JC2S, Part 2.
Number 13B.
Max goes on saying, thus suggesting that the chapters could be put in any old order. Max goes on, we even encounter the view that as, and he's quoting now Stephen Gottschalk saying, Mrs. Eddy never ordered the chapters in such a way as to provide the reader of her book with a systematic exposition of her thought. Incredible, isn't it? Then Max goes on and says, though Mary Baker Eddy defines her discovery as a system, and then quoting Stephen Gottschalk again, Stephen's saying, her teaching is far from the rigorously systematic character. And he says that it is unstructured quality of science and health. And he says and declares that it makes a reduction of it to a closed metaphysical system impossible. And then Max says, even her use of the term science is questioned and regulated to meaning clearly congruent with its general use in the late 19th century thought. Max says, one wonders what there is left over as a textbook. And here comes the answer. Now quoting Stephen Gottschalk again, Stephen says, yet this open, unstructured quality of science and health makes it workable as a religious textbook. Max says, how sad to see the most scientific textbook thus devalued to the level of a religious book, explanation point. It is symptomatic that there is today a marked tendency to designate Christian Science more and more as the religion of Christian Science, a rendering which is used neither in Science and Health nor in prose works. Max goes on, all this denies Mary Baker Eddy her rightful place as a scientist of the highest caliber. It makes her appear as an exponent of the outmoded 19th century concept of science, though she declared, centuries will intervene before the statement of the inexhaustible topics of science and health is sufficiently understood to be fully demonstrated. Naturally, if one has not become familiar with the trans-classical concept of science, which belongs to the second half of our own century, one does not have the appropriate consciousness for recognizing the more advanced concept of science in the textbook. For the fact is that Mary Baker Eddy's concept of science is congruent with the most modern criteria of science, and also, it may be supposed, with those of the 21st century. Certainly the movement has reached its peak after World War II, cannot advance by hanging on to an outworn concept of science. It's terrific either. Well, those quotes, as I say, are coming from Gottschalk's book on pages 43 to 45. So we see then that with the church coming out and saying, well, it's an unstructured book, there's no order to the chapters, it's nothing more than a religious book. Well, we see then as one's feeling that this then is why that persecution is coming to them for this sense here at Life of Soul, as I said, not being able to heal sin and sickness. Because, you see, they are denying the methods of a science which really allow us, through the crisis this chapter shows, to put off the old constituents of consciousness of mind, matter, body, duality, mythology, and to put on the new constituents of reality, of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, with science and understanding, and it's with a consciousness, truth consciousness of the 6,000-year period, through the method of science and understanding, through that holistic Christ consciousness we saw then at Some Objection Answers, which a Christian Science practice is based on, which heals sin and sickness. So it isn't surprising that, as I say, that that's happening, and I feel then that it seems to be really then a claim against this Life of Soul that is coming to the church. So we can see that it's good. It should be. One's sorry that they're losing these cases, and one doesn't like to see that happen, of course. But then it should wake them up to say, why aren't we healing sickness any longer? And also, if they could and understood the Christian Science, they could stick up for it in these cases. And as we will see when we come to the truth is truth is truth tone in medicine, how Mrs. Eddy gives them the legal rights to stand on, and they just where she shows that it's just unconstitutional not to be able to choose whatever methods of practice we want, that the government has no right to tell us what we should do. It's interfering with church and state, because she says right here, and we'll get there on page truth tone. Yeah, she on page 161, when talking about medicine, then she will show, would give Boston the foundation for their suits. Because you could see that on page 161, she says, on line 11, in 1880, Massachusetts put her foot on a proposed tyrannical law restricting the practice of medicine. If her sister states followed this example in harmony with our Constitution and Bill of Rights, they will do less violence to that immortal sentiment of the Declaration, man is endowed by his Maker with certain inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Showing that in 1880, Massachusetts put her foot on a law trying to restrict the practice of medicine, and so we should today. There's no right. It's up to the Christ to do that, because mortal mind has all sorts of funny beliefs, and it has the right. One can't put a law on every belief of mortal mind. It has to, through the Christ, as the Christ come out of, let the Christ take us out of these false practices. God gets after us for trying to adjust what he adjusts, and shows that our Constitution is right, that we have these and the Bill of Rights, that we have these rights, and we should be able to maintain them. So that persecution is coming to them. They have their rights to be a religion and practice what they want to practice. But as I'm saying, that the persecution one can see is understandable, because they go against life of soul. And as Max also says here in booklet number 5, that there is no reason why... How if I can quickly find that point where he says, well, near the end of the booklet, he shows that, he says, I see no reason why the present or future board should not correct the situation without losing face. He means correct the situation of excommunicating the Science of Christian Science, excommunicating the Dorley line of reasoning, which would bring to them the coincidence between Christianity identical with science and science identical with Christianity, which would bring the healing power of life in and of soul, the healing power of sin and sickness. So you see that everything that happens in the world, it's impersonal. It's the Christ operating. And if these laws come to the world, the Christ is bringing the law of life in and of soul to the world. And if it doesn't find that which is like it, it looks like persecution against that which should be standing up for the identical nature of science and Christianity, that they should be one. And if it isn't finding that in that source, it naturally would take its opposite. It would look like persecution. But it's really the Christ saying, you're missing the mark. So these tones are eternal tones. They're tones that are going on. And this is, again, while I'm saying, this is why we need text interpretation, to be able to hear these tones going on in the world. How else would we have faced this issue facing Boston that has about 7 lawsuits of malpractice going on in the cases in the land today? And how do we look at that? Well, we look at it from science, and science explains it. So we read what's happening in the world with a consciousness of the textbook, with a consciousness of these tones, and it becomes very, very practical. So you see why I mentioned that we have the Bible and the textbook to practice this text interpretation so we can read the book of life experience. All right. So we see now that we have this tone of life is soul. So let's hear, if we can hear it in the text, how the one life lifts a dead theology into a living practical theology at the point of life is soul, how the same Christ spirit heals sin as well as sickness and makes Christianity identical with science. So we start on page 135, and we'll just read through the overall tonality of this. It's, again, small. If it was a real long and went over pages after pages, as I said, we'd break it up, but it's just a short point here. So we read together, "The same power which heals sin heals also sickness. This is the beauty of holiness, that when truth heals the sick, it casts out evils, and when truth casts out evil called disease, it heals the sick. When Christ casts out the devil of dumbness, it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake. There is today danger of repeating the offense of the Jews by limiting the Holy One of Israel and asking, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? What cannot God do? It has been said, and truly, that Christianity must be science, and science must be Christianity, else one or the other is false and useless. But neither is unimportant or untrue, and they are alike in demonstration. This proves one to be identical with the other. Christianity, as Jesus taught it, was not a creed, nor a system of ceremonies, nor a special gift from a ritualistic Jehovah, but it was a demonstration of divine love, casting out error and healing the sick, not merely in the name of Christ or truth, but in demonstration of truth, as must be the case in the cycles of divine light." All right. So now we go in, to our text, and we mark the text according to the categories. So we read and we say the same. What is that the tone of? Soul, power, life, which heals. Life has the power of the Christ behind life. Sin. Well, that is a sense of opposite soul, but that's not so much the point. The point here is the same power heals sin, heals also. So it's a heal also. Where's the soul quality? The also. Both. Sin and sickness. This is the beauty of holiness, that when truth heals, the Christ heals the sick, the Christ casts out evils. So let's see what we said here. That when truth heals the sick, it casts out evils. And so when truth casts out evil called disease, it heals the sick. Now the Christ tone, when Christ casts out the devil of dumbness, it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake. There is today danger of repeating the offense of the Jews by limiting, the opposite of soul, soul is unlimited, by limiting the Holy One of Israel and asking, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? That's life, the opposite of life is soul. Saying, is life limited? And then she says, no, life isn't limited. What cannot God do? What cannot God, soul, do? Huh? What cannot that life, which is God, as soul, do? It has been said, and truly, that Christianity or theology must, there's the Christ. So you can mark this, Christianity is in your life tone, that's theology. Theology must be science, that's in that principle tone. And science, principle, must be theology. And the must is Christ. Else one or the other is false and useless. It has no life power behind it. It becomes limited. Useless there means that life is limited because of its place value. But neither is unimportant or untrue. And they are alike. There's soul, huh? Alike in demonstration. This proves one to be identical with the other. Soul again, huh? Christianity or theology there, that life tone, as Jesus taught it, was not a creed nor a system of ceremonies, the opposite of life, the opposite of true theology, nor a special gift from a ritualistic Jehovah. Well, we've met that one before, haven't we? But it was the demonstration principle of the divine love. There's principle which is love. But this theology, you'll see that, we'll see now when we come to life as principle, that her theology is based on that living principle love. And she's showing that already, that this theology is based on principle love, which we've already seen at the beginning here, because last year we saw that under the principle tone, that it was a principle which is love. And so theology is just a consciousness of that living principle love. So Jesus' theology was a demonstration principle of love, casting out the Christ heir and soul, healing the sick. Not merely in the name, opposite of soul, of Christ's truth, but in the demonstration, in the principle of truth. As must Christ be the case in the cycles of divine light. Because what comes from God returns to God. That's the Christ. That's so, isn't that beautiful? Gosh, there again she's saying things so poetically. But in demonstration of truth, what is that demonstration of truth that we know here at this point? What is truth in this chapter? How is truth symbolized? Christ as the Christ. Isn't that the overall tonality of this chapter, isn't it? It's Christ is the Christ. So in this chapter, the structure of this chapter is the Christ is the Christ. And she's saying that's what's demonstrating this. What's behind this demonstration of life in and of soul, which is healing sin as well as sickness and making Christianity identical with science. Don't forget that it's the Christ is the Christ that's doing it. She's just referring us back to the structure behind the chapter, because she says that demonstration of truth must be the case in the cycles of divine light. What are the cycles of divine light in this chapter? Christ is the Christ. See the cycles of the Christ coming to us. And then come the Christ coming to us, the Emmanuel to us, and then returning to God. God coming to us and forcing us to return to God. That's the cycle of light going on in here, isn't it? That's the Emmanuel, God comes to us. That's that truth that must be the case in the cycles of light. She's just referring us back to the demonstrating power behind this chapter, saying, look at that, that truth is in a cycle. The truth is coming to us, that Christ comes to us, and what happens? It causes us to return to the truth. So you have the first translation of God coming to us and the second translation of causing us to return through the first, second, and third degree back to the Christ truth. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, it is. It's just beautiful. All right, so that's how she keeps reminding us that the Christ is the Christ in its cycles of translation and retranslation are always the power that are going on behind life of soul. Okay, so we then See, that's wonderful that that Christ is the Christ is really making, is healing sin as well as sickness. We're not doing it, but it's a consciousness. See, that was Jesus' living consciousness. His living consciousness was the true theology. Therefore, his living consciousness was the Christ consciousness. And because he had that living consciousness of the Christ consciousness, that Christ consciousness in its cycles of light was seeing how that truth was coming to mankind and healing sin as well as sickness and taking that back into the Christ truth wholeness standpoint. And that was his Christianity, which was based on the science of the Christ. Terrific. So if we want to do an epitome, an abstraction of the text, we could say, well, is a marginal heading. She says, fear and sickness identical. You see there, Ellen, she uses fear instead of sin. That's why I said it's not what she's saying, sin or that. It's a point that whatever the problem is, it heals the mental as well as the physical. Fear is a mental quality. And so she's saying that whatever it is, whether it's sin or fear, whatever it's in mentality, it will heal the mental of the second degree as well as it will heal the physical, the first degree. So this is what one can see is what she's saying. She says that that Christ is a Christ in its cycles of divine light is the power, is that life power, which is the same power that heals sin and sickness. So she's saying, look at that, that Christ power, which is the Christ is the Christ, that Christ power comes to us, and it brings to us that truth. And that truth comes to us. And that truth does what? From that spiritual standpoint, that truth, which is based then on the ideas of mind, that truth brings to us those ideas of mind, and those ideas of mind heal first the mental, that life power brings to us those ideas of mind, or even backing up that Christ power in its first translation using the life power brings to us those ideas of mind. And she's saying, and those ideas of mind heal first the mental, heal mortal mind's beliefs called sin. See, sin is just a moral illness. And therefore the moral is just all those, moral isn't physical. A moral is a belief realm. And so it heals the moral to begin with. It heals all those moral, those beliefs that are in that collective unconscious, in that morphogenetic field of the human mind, in that mental realm, which cause sickness, those false mortal beliefs. It heals those beliefs first, she's saying here. It heals that second degree first. It heals sin first. It heals the mental first. And when it heals the mental, which objectifies itself as sin or fear, she says, then it automatically heals the physical. Because the physical is only the mental objectified. The physical is only those beliefs objectified. Therefore, the physical is only a realm of illusion. So when it heals beliefs, it heals the physical. And therefore, when it heals beliefs, it heals sickness. So it heals sin, a mental qualities, which is missing the mark. And it heals sickness, which is when one misses the mark, that objectifies itself as some physical claim called sickness. So can you see that when the spiritual heals the mental, it automatically heals sickness? Because sickness is unreal. It's a realm of illusion. It doesn't exist. The physical doesn't exist. The physical is only the mental objectified. And so when the mental has these mortal beliefs, it objectifies those mortal beliefs called the physical realm, and therefore called sickness. So whenever we have a claim of sickness, as she'll show as we go on to medicine, we don't heal it with a drug as I've brought out so far. We can only heal it with ideas, because ideas heal beliefs. And when those beliefs are healed, then sin is healed, and automatically sickness then is healed. It heals both. It's terrific. Isn't Christian Science practice great? And it's simple. We only have to go out from ideas, from the realm of ideas, and stick to the realm of ideas, and stick to the equipollence of God, the allness of God's Spirit, hence the awful unreality called evil. If we just stick to the allness of God and see the world as mind sees the world, and spirit sees the world, and soul sees the world, and principle, life, truth, and love sees the world, that heals the mental false beliefs as well as the physical. It's easy. She says it's easy when the way is pointed out. Hmm? So this brings out that sense of life in and of soul with the Christ behind it. And therefore is showing always that if we look at soul dimensionally, we see then that on the level of science itself, soul is always that infinite withinness, talking about that undivided garment, that garment that cannot be divided into parts. And on divine science, that infinite withinness of soul shows that the universe is always intact as the all in all. And therefore, on absolute Christian science shows then that that infinite withinness on divine science, which is always intact on absolute Christian science, identifies itself in all situations. That life power is unlimited. And therefore, on the Christian Science level, that life power, which is unlimited, brings to the Christian Science level those ideas which heal sin as well as sickness. So it's a powerful, powerful, powerful point here. I think then we just go on there, and I have one more abstraction. Of life in and of soul, which is then showing that marginal heading called the unity of science and Christianity.